Tess Newton-Cain, great to have you back on Pacific Beach for your predictions for 2016. But before we look ahead, I want to actually look back. We had you on Pacific Beach last year making some predictions about political stability across the Pacific, but particularly in Vanuatu. And here's what you had to say last year about what was expected for 2015.
I did an interview with the Prime Minister of Vanuatu, and he identified political stability as being the major issue that he wanted his government to focus on between now and when Vanuatu next has general elections, which is in 2016. So there are a couple of initiatives underway in that space relating to some possible constitutional changes or requirements around registration of political parties. So we can expect to see some more work done on that here.
So that was you this time a year ago. Obviously, much has happened in Vanuatu in the past year, and we are just weeks out now from an election in 2016, as you said, but much sooner than we had expected. Can you take us through where things have led us to this position and where you see things and how you see things playing out for this election on January 22nd?
Sure, thanks very much, Catherine. So at the time that I spoke to you last year, Jern Asmann was the Prime Minister, and obviously an awful lot has happened in a very short space of time, including a change of government. So that took place around about the middle of 2015, and Sata Kilman took over, ousted Jern Asmann in a vote of no confidence. And that led to a number of things happened subsequent to that. I guess most significantly was the conviction and jailing of a number of then government MPs on convictions of bribery, and then further to political fallout resulting from that, the president then found himself in a situation where he felt forced to dissolve parliament, bringing on what we now have, which is a snap election being held on the 22nd of this month. We were scheduled to have elections probably in around September or October of 2016, but obviously they've been brought forward. And the issue of political stability is certainly one that is going to be of significance, both in terms of the campaigning for this election. So I watched this morning the launch of one of the party's campaign videos, in which this issue of political stability was one that was very much front and centre in terms of their thinking. They were talking about wanting to secure a sufficient majority or a coalition with sufficient majority in order to affect both constitutional and legal change that would allow for more stable government going forward in the interests of improving service delivery.
And in your mind, is that elusive political stability going to be possible to achieve for Vanuatu in 2016, or does it really depend, I guess, and hangs in the balance on what happens on January 22nd and the results from the election?
Essentially, it does depend on the results from the election, because only if those parties, which are essentially a sort of a fairly loose coalition of what we often refer to as the nationalist parties, if they can put together a really serious majority that can hold and withstand a rapid or a prompt motion of no confidence from the opposition, then they should be able to bring about the sorts of changes that they want.
You've mentioned there the idea of a coalition being formed, but in terms of the specific people who will be running and who actually might be successful, we've obviously lost a lot of the key players who have been and played such a big role in Vanuatu politics for the past few years, those that have been jailed as a result of the bribery scandal. Do you expect to see quite a lot of new players popping up? And because the issue of bribery and corruption has been front of centre of people's minds in Vanuatu, that it's actually possible that there might be real generational change and some real new faces and ideas that come forward?
Certainly, in terms of the sorts of names we've heard thrown around as possible candidates, there certainly are a lot of people throwing their hats in the ring for the first time. Some of those people bring with them years and years of academic experience or public policy experience or business experience. So there certainly is the potential for there to be some really new key players. In terms of generational change, that's less easy to predict, and I think we need to be careful that we don't overstate the impact of the bribery case. It certainly is extremely significant. It's changed a lot of the conversation, particularly the conversation that takes place here in Port Vila and in our other urban areas. However, in rural areas where political affiliations are much more based around personal connections and what your MP can be seen to do for you in terms of quite practical things like providing bags of rice and paying school fees. That sort of philosophical discussion about the importance of governance possibly isn't quite as active or as entrenched or as meaningful as it might be in some parts of the country.
All right, we've talked quite comprehensively on the elections in Vanuatu, but there are, of course, several others happening throughout this year, most soon in Samoa in March, where temporary measures allowing or making sure that women make up 10% of the new members of parliament will be used for the first time. How successful do you believe that's going to be?
Well, essentially, it has to be successful. That's the nature of temporary special measures under quota, is that there will be a minimum of 10% of women in the parliament by virtue of those top-up measures that Samoa has introduced. And obviously, that makes Samoa the first country in the region to have introduced those measures in relation to national level representation. Other countries have them in other parts of their decision-making structures, but Samoa is the first to do it at national level. I know that the women's groups and people who are pushing for women to take part in the Samoan Parliament are seeking to advocate that that 10% should be seen as a floor, not a ceiling. So they're obviously hoping that, as well as those reserve seats, they will have some success in getting women into the open seats as well.
And just one other election to note in Nauru later this year, of course, but there's certainly been a fair bit of criticism over the lack of openness and transparency of the current government, and with the media being quite restricted, or foreign media being restricted to even get to Nauru, it looks like the coverage of any election may also lack transparency. What are your predictions in regards to that?
The Nauru elections are scheduled for August. I've heard some people have said to me that they've heard things that might indicate that the government will bring them forward. Other people have said to me, well, they may not take place at all. So it's very hard to predict what's going to happen in Nauru. I'm getting increasingly mixed messages from the Nauru and diaspora, from people who have visited Nauru and met with people on the island. So it's a very complex and confused situation.